Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Welcome to Fat Mascara.
I'm Jen.
I'm Jess.
Gonna be fun today.
This is a good episode. Lots of drama in the house today. First of all, I just got off a plane.
Is that the dramatic part?
A dramatic entrance. Mm-hmm. I literally just got off the plane like Mick Jagger style. Mm-hmm. In from London.
In your faux fur.
In my faux fur.
Okay.
Always faux. Keep it real. Actually, there is a picture of me on the internet where I have some real fur trim circulating from like 10 years ago. Don't do it, guys. Don't do it.
That's old Jess.
Old Jess before I knew better. Okay, let's talk about Fashion Week, which I opted out of, but Jen was in the weeds, so she's going to report back.
Yes, I'll tell you everything.
Then we're going to talk about acid, yo.
Like trippy acid?
Like the acid that you put in your face.
Yes, we need to. Big drama in that world.
Big drama in that world. And it's a really hot topic right now. And then we're going to talk about the biggest story circulating in the beauty world right now. DECIEM. Maybe you've seen the Insta stories circulating. What is going on? Then, of course, a fabulous guest. Who is our guest this week, Jen?
We have Lorraine Massey. She's the founder of Curly World. She knows everything about curly hair. But she just co-authored a new book called Silver Hair. So she's going to tell us all about gray hair, how to grow in your gray hair, maybe how to hide it, but we're more about embracing it.
Embrace the
gray.
You know,
32% of women under 30 have already seen gray hair.
I'm surprised it's not more.
Well, it probably is more in our stressful world. Anyway, she has a great interview for us, lots of tips, so stay tuned for that.
You might have gray hair after this episode.
Yeah, it's that much drama. Let's do it. It's the way that you
do. There is so much interest right now in acid. Everybody's doing acid right now, Jen.
Everybody's doing it.
All the cool kids are doing
alpha
acid.
Alpha hydroxy, beta hydroxy, polyhydroxy.
Lactic. Mandelin.
Yeah, those are all types of...
Is that how you say it? Mandelic. Mandelic.
Mandelic. That's the apple one. Alpha.
Kojic.
Salicylic. Are you guys confused yet?
There's got to be another one.
There's tons. Anyway, what makes you talk about this today?
Well, I think, you know, people have been doing acid on their faces for a really long time, but it's very much like in the beauty mainstream right now because Glossier came out with their thing. It's just called like Solution, which to me, it seems so like, it's so serious, like just Solution.
Yeah, you know? it's a liquid, almost like a toner type liquid.
Sounds religious. Solution.
That has multiple types of acids in it. Much like the famous Biologique Recherche.
The P50.
Or the one from Pixie.
Paula's Choice has one.
Yes.
But I was, you know, there everyone's saying like which one's better, this, that, the other thing. Everyone thinks they're a little scientist. I absolutely was entranced by Caroline Hirons. Mm-hmm. Hirons. I always pronounce her name differently each time I say it. Caroline, how do I say her name? I love her website so much. We'll put a link to this article. She really went to town. She took them to task because she said, Glossier, you're using your marketing approach is maybe not the best one, because what they're doing, what Glossier has done, is rather than just tout why theirs is amazing, they've compared it to other brands and said, you know, this, ours does this better than yours.
You always get into trouble when you do that, because as Jeff pointed out to us so nicely on last week's episode, you can look at an ingredient label and see what's in a product, but it doesn't tell you percentages if it's not an active ingredient. It doesn't tell you how much or what they're mixed with. Mm-hmm. So the minute you get into the game of like, ours has lactic, whereas theirs has beta hydroxies, then you have a problem because you actually don't know.
You don't know jack about what's in a product just from the IL. Inky.
In fact,
I spoke over you, Jim, but you know,
in fact,
impassioned.
You are impassioned. You might know it because it says the percentage on it. For example, 5% salicylic is like a standard, right? But that is not necessarily telling you it's 5% of the entire solution. That might be of their trademark thing that they put in there. They really don't have to tell you, unless it's a drug, exactly how much is in there.
And it's, I think it's like everybody wants to play scientist, and that's where people get into trouble. Yeah. So this leads to more consumer confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why people are, between the consumer confusion and the consumer interest and the, you know, everyone playing scientist and also being a little overindulgent with the acids at their sinks, we've got a problem. One of those problems, acid abuse and some irritation. And we've gotten a lot of emails about that lately. How much is too much?
You know, can I just say, I feel like this, I don't know a lot about marijuana, but I feel like, you know, people always talk about in the 70s, marijuana was out there, and now it's so much stronger. So people are like trying marijuana for the first time because it's legal in some states, and they're like, oh my God, it's really strong. I really feel like these acid products have gotten a lot stronger in the last decade. Do you agree? Or people are just using them more.
That's such a funny metaphor. I was like, where is she going with this? Like, reel it in, Jen, reel it in. No, I'm actually really with you. I don't know if it's they've gotten stronger. I think there's more of them out there on the market. One of our listeners asked, can we actually thin our skin and can we age ourselves by using this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I asked Dr. Frank about this because I knew he would have the answer.
Dr. Paul Jarrod
Frank. Dr. Paul Jarrod Frank.
Dermatologist here in New York.
Yeah, he is not afraid of looking good. He is not afraid of, you know, a good exfoliator. He said that as for chemical exfoliators, these OTC ones, they're generally mild enough to cause no harm other than irritation. But obviously anything done excessively, abusively, they can cause damage.
And probably what he means by abusively is that if your face is bright red for hours afterwards, or you have stinging that lasts more than a couple seconds, you should be backing off and using it less frequently. I would even say check with your dermatologist, because some of these acids don't work well with the active ingredients like retinoids and things like that.
And the more that you are using these and you're making your skin more sun sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
You can be cause that, you know, you're making the skin barrier, which is so important, thinner, more susceptible to, you know, to damage. You could actually be causing a problem that is what you were trying to like stop in the first place. You know, you're actually damaging your skin.
That glow could be short lived.
Exactly. So don't, you know, really like curb your enthusiasm a little bit with all of this like hyper exfoliation.
I feel like this has turned into a drug thing. Like, you guys, don't do drugs. Don't do acid.
Oh my God.
Be careful with acid.
Be careful with acid.
Jess, I know you went off to London, left me all alone to deal with New York during Fashion Week. I forgive you. Let me just say, it's really fun to look at people in big puffy fur coats and like high heels in the pouring rain.
Oh yeah, it looked so rainy.
It was miserable. I guess that wasn't the first 2 days. It was like day three and four.
It looked so rainy.
And I just, like, people don't stop. Like all the street style girls, they're like, they still want to get their picture snapped outside of the show.
I saw a midriff.
Yeah, like, and there was a lot of, like, these coats, like, big checked coats, big fur coats. I'm talking about on the street style, not necessarily on the runways. And they just look soggy. I'm sorry. Oh,
but I was indoors, like, toasty with, like, a coat.
Well, I'm glad for you. I have some reports for you from backstage.
Do tell.
Lots of makeup. It's exciting because this is fall fashion week. Mm-hmm. Remember, the stuff we're seeing now is what's going to be in stores in the fall. So the makeup, I always feel like, is a little bit more drama. Mm-hmm. The hair, too. Mm-hmm. So already, tons of glitter for you glitter fanatics. That's not going anywhere. A lot on the eyelids, too. There's this Australian designer, Alice McCall, and she showed in New York for the first time. Honestly, I wasn't paying attention to the clothes because there was this shimmery sunset copper kind of eye situation going on. I was very into that. And of course, Alexander Wang. You always got to look at what he's doing.
Okay.
What did you see?
I saw something that I haven't seen since the junk drawer of my parents' house when I was growing up.
What is it?
This claw clip.
Oh, that everybody was calling a banana clip?
It's not a banana clip.
I feel like I was around when the clips came out. The banana clip is different.
The banana clip is so different.
What's the claw clip?
The claw clip is that thing that if you put it on your arm, it actually really hurt.
Yeah, you could wear them like bracelets.
Oh.
But he did it like almost like manes. Remember manes where like it's just like a mohawk but on the back of your head with a claw clip. So he did that as a style.
I had a bunch of those growing up.
Yeah, the youngins
I don't want to see them again.
Yeah, and the youngins were calling it a banana clip. And
it's
I was
not
like,
a fucking banana clip.
Kids.
Excuse my language.
Let me school you in the ways of the clippies.
No, but they really held your hair.
Yeah, they do. Jonathan Simkai put the hair inside the necklaces, like, so it looked like a little hood almost. I don't know. I was like, I kind of into that. I don't know. It was like a little.
Can we go back to the claw clip?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm just still trying to work it out. Why do we know the reason why Guido did the claw clip?
Yes, that was Guido. It's Guido. Does he need a reason?
No, I just can't wait to ask him about it.
I honestly feel like sometimes they do it just to, like, get a moment and have people talking about it.
Well, I'm talking because I was like going to sleep that night looking at the ceiling like, but why?
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to make a comeback, but I'm already predicting for
I think it is.
London, Paris, and Milan to come that we're going to see lots of eye shimmer, eye glitter, eye color, like get out your shadow palettes. You know Pat McGrath's going to make a whole new palette after she's done with Fashion Week, and we're going to have to start putting color on our eyelids.
You know what the whole thing's reminding me of? Very like I, Tanya.
Oh, the movie about Tanya Harding?
Yeah, like just everything, the colors,
the
claw clips.
Well, like the 90s aren't going anywhere. They're definitely
back.
Yeah,
this is hardcore.
Yeah, so there's your like New York Fashion Week recap. We'll keep an eye on what happens in Europe. Honestly, take it with a grain of salt. We're going to tell you how you're going to look good without doing all that shenanigans.
Anyone who has been even casually following the DECIEM social media controversy, we'll know that there is too much for us to unpack, even in this one episode.
Yes, but in a brief primer, though, DECIEM is a skincare company.
DECIEM is the parent company of the skincare company The Ordinary.
Right.
And that is an affordable skincare brand, which has been under fire this month, because the CEO, Brandon Truax, has been doing a bunch of Instagram posts calling out basically everyone, maybe not everyone, but a lot of people. He threw some shade at Tiffany Masterson from Drunk Elephant. Mm-hmm. They've since made peace. He has been very, very vocal about a lot of different issues. Just peek onto The Ordinary, peek onto Brandon Truax's social media, and you'll get the picture.
And overreaching this whole thing is that he wants to be transparent. That's what that company's been about from the beginning. They tell you what ingredients are in there. They're inexpensive products. That's why they're making money, because they're so honest. But with that honesty comes, maybe I'm thinking sometimes too much honesty. For example, he says that he wants to speak directly to his customers, and that's why he's doing these videos on the brand's Instagram mm-hmm. feed. And he linked to an article being like, I'm not going to be like these other companies. The article he linked to was Unilever is threatening that they're going to pull all of their digital marketing from Facebook and Google if Facebook and Google don't clean up their act. So Unilever is going...
What do they mean by clean up their act, though?
Meaning, you know how there's fake news on Facebook? Like, people can do paid things that look like news. Mm-hmm. Maybe the Russian government did that during the elections, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. Unilever saying, listen, we're a family-friendly company. We want to be in an environment where everything is trusted, newsworthy, and, you know, safe for kids' eyes. Because there's also ways for, like, you know, rated R kind of stuff to get into a Facebook feed. So they're saying they're going to pull their digital marketing if everything's not super clean. So Brandon has jumped on that and said, look, I'm not going to do that. The real world isn't super clean. I'm just going to tell you like it is. It's two totally different arguments.
He's grabbing the mic and he's saying, as a brand owner, I'm going to be completely unfiltered. This isn't about, you know, editing you know, our social media, so it's pristine.
Social media is unfiltered, so I'm going to meet you on that place and tell you exactly what I think.
Something that was interesting, and I've just never seen this before in my life, is, you know, they've been bought, DCM is bought by Estee Lauder Companies
a while
ago.
I believe they weren't bought, but they did a priority stake.
They have an investment by Estee Lauder Companies. Estee Lauder Companies is a very squeaky clean kind of company.
You're right.
They do not get their... They're a family company, you know, owned by this, like, Upper East Side kind of company.
When they bought Bumble and there was some falling out with Bumble, it was all under the
rug. This is, like, very... this is not something that... I can't imagine them wanting to get their nose dirty with this. And nose at a joint, whatever. So he has even tagged them on Instagram to say, sorry that miserable people keep tagging you because they wrongly think you controlled SEM. I love you. Say hi to Leonard, Fabrizio, Andrew. He starts naming all the top brass at Lauder. It's absolutely off, like, unprecedented.
I love it, though. I feel like the curtain has been peeled back in the beauty industry for so long. You know, these companies sold to women under this glamorous umbrella of, like, everything's perfect, models are perfect, our products are perfect. And I think that people are going overboard because they don't know everything yet, but I kind of love that they're getting in the weeds and learning about the backside of the business.
It's absolutely like a business story. It's beautytainment, even though it's pretty ugly.
Yeah.
But it's also political. It's so many things in one. This is this, you know.
Do you appreciate his honesty? I'm going to go out there and say I appreciate the honesty. I feel like you take it with a grain of salt, but I like that he's doing this. What do you think?
I'm cringing watching this whole thing.
Yeah.
Because it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I love some of his charitable initiatives.
Yeah.
You know, with the whole Tiffany Masterson thing, he gave $25,000 to an elephant charity, you know, immediately. I thought that he has a lot of goodwill. But for me, it's not how I would have behaved in that situation.
You know,
But I also think he, you know, he's done a lot of things that I couldn't necessarily do. So, you know, I have some respect for him.
I have an idea.
You know,
I've met him before.
Okay.
Should I reach out and see if he'd want to come on the podcast?
I would love Brandon to come out on the podcast.
I feel like we should
discuss this.
So who are we to talk about this and then not give him the opportunity to talk back? Brandon, I will email you separately, but for now, let's like hear more from him. I want to know where this is going.
So I think, you know, certain things I don't like to talk about in public, which I think you can tell from my how uncomfortably I'm answering this question.
This isn't the vagina episode.
I'm more comfortable discussing that with you. I think for me...
Oh, really? Vaginas are less... Oh, because you want everybody to be polite and like...
I think certain things are better for certain venues.
Okay.
I mean, I just asked you today, I said, are we putting up photos of our bows for Valentine's Day? I think...
On
social media.
No.
I just, certain things are for different forums.
Okay.
So I'm less comfortable with this kind of sharing.
Yes, but people giving money to companies, I think now they want to know who they're giving money to and what that company stands for.
Everything, the whole power has shifted to the consumer, but I also don't think the consumer knows everything.
Let's help teach them. Let's have Brandon on and we'll see what we can
Brandon, we've got to discuss. We've got to discuss.
All right, it's not often that we talk about supplements, but when we do, you know that we mean it, all right? Every day I do my skincare routine, and that is a cleanse, I moisturize. Of course, I pop a little antioxidant in there. I'll do a little serum underneath there. But what is non-negotiable for me lately is I take a supplement. That is my Ritual Hyacera. It's a wrinkle support skin supplement, which is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and improve skin smoothness. I'll take that.
I'll take it too. Ritual Hyacera is a once daily skin supplement. Jess said clinically proven. Let me give you the deets. In a clinical study, Hyacera led to a 3.6 time reduction in crow's feet wrinkles within 90 days as compared to placebo. Jess and I have been taking it more than 90 days. Let me tell you, it works. Plus, Ritual Hyacera has led to a 2.9 times increase in skin smoothness in the same amount of times. It's rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. You don't always know if a supplement does that. Ritual also has industry-leading sustainability standards. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, love that, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. Plus, female-founded, B Corp, meaning they're holding themselves accountable to not just their company's financial health, but also the health of the people and our planet. You gotta love that.
Yes, okay. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust.
Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/mascara. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/mascara for 25% off. Okay, everyone, guess what I did last night? I slept in my Honeylove bra. I don't think I've ever slept in a bra before. Usually, I am so excited to take off my bra at the end of the day, there would be no chance I would lay down in it. But Honeylove bras are that comfortable. And if you're someone who does like to sleep in a bra for a little extra support, I feel like the Honeylove crossover bra should be your sleeping bra. Did I just coin a thing, sleeping bra? I don't know if they'll approve of that, but I love the idea. Obviously, you're gonna wear it out all the time too, because Honeylove's bras feature supportive bonding that eliminates the need for uncomfortable wires. Plus, they're made with a fabric that's so soft, it feels like a second skin. Is it spring cleaning time in your house? I know it is in mine. Clean out your bra drawer, get a few from Honeylove. They have the V-neck bra that's smooth and seamless and hardware free. And then my personal favorite is the crossover bra with adjustable straps and a hook back closure. And of course, again, no underwire in that one either. The Honeylove supportive bonding lifts and supports without those uncomfortable wires. And while you're at it, why not pair your Honeylove bra with their matching shapewear, or maybe a pair of their breathable, versatile leggings. Treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. It's honeylove.com/mascara. And then after you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we here at Fat Mascara sent you. Honeys, you deserve this. Again, that website is honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off. Okay, so there are some stories about my mom's life that I never get tired of hearing, and they're usually the ones in which she's trying to right some injustice and then ends up annoying the people in power, and I love that about her. Anyway, just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve memories and stories for the mother figure in your life or any of your family or chosen family. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. The prompts are really good. The kind of things we ask guests here at Fat Mascara, little things like what's your favorite board game? And more important things like what's the best advice you've ever gotten? Storyworth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved one needs to do is respond to the email with a story, long or short, doesn't matter. You'll be emailed a copy of what they wrote, but they'll also be collected. So you'll get to enjoy the retelling of the stories and probably learn some new things in the process. Then after that year of fun, Storyworth automatically compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book. Even though I know some of my mom's best stories, I love that the weekly prompts are helping to uncover more details and that they'll be collected in one place for me to revisit and read through. Don't think I'm not going to pull this keepsake book out at our next family get together to share some of them. Listen, everyone loves Storyworth. It has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over 10 years ago. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/mascara. That's storyworth.com/mascara to save $10 on your first purchase.
We're here with Lorraine Massey, who is the author of Curly Girl, the Handbook, which was from almost a decade ago now, right?
The first one was a decade. The second one was 2011. Yeah.
And now you have a new book, Silver Hair, a Handbook. You're also a longtime hairstylist and both a curly girl and a silver girl. Welcome to Fat Mascara.
Thank you for having me.
Silver girl, that sounds so nice.
I like that one.
Yeah.
I'm going
to
use that. Silver girl.
So we wanted to have you on to talk specifically about silver hair, and you're going to have to forgive me when I call it gray hair. I know we're doing a rebrand here.
That's okay.
But
we are doing a rebrand.
Yeah, exactly. We'll talk about that. But before we get into that, can you tell us like what your personal background is, how you even got into being a hairstylist? I know you've lived all over the world.
Yes.
Tell us.
Well, being a curly girl, you know, curly girls are not born loving their hair. They have to learn to love their hair. So, of course, I hated my hair like a lot of curly girls do when they're at the beginning, when they can look at themselves in the mirror. So it was only natural that I started, you know, I wanted to work in a salon. So I worked at my friend's mother's salon every Saturday after work, after school. And that's it. I've been hairdressing all my life since literally 13 years old. So that was like 20 years ago.
Of course, just 20 years ago. Wait, at 13 you were in a salon? Where'd you grow up?
I was the shampoo girl.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, in Leicester, England.
Got it.
Yeah, it's like a factory industrial little town. Mm-hmm. So that's where I started hairdressing. And then as soon as I, at 16, I got my apprenticeship. And then I started to travel, got my scissors and just went everywhere. There's always somebody that needs a haircut.
Yeah.
So you can literally, I could park myself at a university, anywhere, and I would always get money for that day, for that night, you know, where I'm going to stay and stuff like that.
Yeah.
On the beach in Boracay Island in the Philippines. It was amazing.
You were cutting hair on the beach?
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
I've always cut hair on the beach. It's a perfect place to cut hair.
That's true.
Because then you can just easy dunk in and then you dry naturally. So that's probably where the natural thing came in as well.
Amazing.
It was always natural.
So you've been, you know, you're known really for a lot of things, but firstly for being a curly hair advocate, I can say
absolutely.
That. And really, in about like 2001, I would say that's when you started talking about it.
Yeah, it's funny because I haven't shampooed my hair in years and years and years. So as a hairdresser,
did you say you haven't shampooed your hair in years and years?
I haven't probably shampooed my hair in probably 30 years.
So you're sitting here now with like...
Never shampooed.
With 30 years of dirt in her hair.
Yeah,
no,
looks clean.
Yes, so which is always a really interesting thing when I say that. So I started cleansing my hair actually in Hong Kong with this lovely hairdresser. He said to me, you know, my hair was like humidity of Hong Kong too. He said, just wash your hair with conditioner. I don't think he realized. He just gave me the pathway of loving my curls. So instantly it just dawned on me.
When was that? When did he say that?
This was when I first moved to Hong Kong. It was a hairdresser friend of mine, God bless him. Mm-hmm. He's not with us anymore. But he said, why didn't you just wash your hair with conditioner?
So and this was before the whole no-poo movement and all that.
Absolutely.
And this is much before 2001? Like, what are we talking about?
We're talking 1987.
Okay.
So then I stopped, but I never told anyone. I was afraid to tell anyone, but I was actually still cleansing my hair, the movement of it, but I wasn't using detergent shampoo, which shampoo is what creates the cuticles to lift, and that's what creates the frizz. So I just did it without telling anybody, basically.
Just water and conditioner.
Water and conditioner, and then rinse the conditioner, and then I would just put conditioner back in again. Mm-hmm. So I was still, my scalp was getting cleaned. Agitation cleans it. And then it would get rinsed. So then years went by. I moved to New York. And a lot of curly girls are here in New York City. Everyone was getting their hair blown out.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as they walked outside and it was raining, their hair would curl back up. So that would go over and over and over again. That a lot of, you know, they would say, well, what are you doing? You know, how come your curls aren't as bad as mine.
Yeah.
So then slowly but surely I'd say, well, you know, I don't use shampoo. So it kind of went from there. It was just a very slow trust because being a hairdresser, I didn't believe anyone would be interested. It wasn't. It didn't even occur to me to share it.
Is that why you wrote the book? Like, well, to get that big secret out? Or well, did you have
actually,
a bunch
no,
of other...
I had no interest in writing the book, so I won
so
my
why'd
clients.
You write it?
Like,
I mean, like, it's well, kind of a big thing to take on.
Well, exactly. Plus, I'm a hairdresser.
Yeah.
And I never went to school, oddly. So I'm severely dyslexic, so I can't really write properly. That's why Michelle Bender, my beautiful co-writer, I love her so much. She helps me get it out of my head and onto paper. So I'm getting better, though. So this gentleman from Workman Publishing, who's got a curly man, he would come and get his hair cut with me. And I would talk about his hair as though he was a person, you know. So he said to me, well, why you should write a book? And I said, no, there's no way. So Mr. Workman and Mrs. Workman, Carol Ann, they wrote me a letter and said, why don't you come in and we'll talk about it? And I said, no way. Because I didn't really used to talk even. I was always quite quiet. So then, so they wrote me twice. And then the second time I said, okay, I'll go in. And we just started talking. And they took me, that day, they had me go and talk to the editor and said, let's do this. Because I've lived with this woman, Mr. Workman said, I've lived with that curly girl for the last 20 years. She drives me crazy. So there is time, you know, let's do it. So that's how it started. And then they just basically extracted it.
Now, at that point, you were working at a salon or were you at your salon? Because you founded a salon.
Yes, I did.
I think our listeners need to know.
Yes.
Well, can we talk about that?
Yes. I used to, well, first of all, I worked in a salon when I first moved here, but I got fired, actually.
What did you do?
Well, then I went home crying, you know, and the receptionist was nice enough to give everyone my number. So everyone would come to my kitchen, five-floor walk-up on Sullivan Street.
Oh, my God.
So I became this really, really busy hairdresser, but they had to go up five floors first. It's like a Fellini movie. And but I would have, like, clients, you know, have their car waiting outside, you know, in a limo, and, you know,
they're
a lady coming up
floors.
with a fur coat on, with gorgeous, So that's how I started how it started. And then the dry cutting, because I didn't really have
this
a sink.
This is Devachan.
Yeah, like, what is the name of the salon? Like, drum roll.
Devachan.
Yeah, Devachan. Which
yes.
is like...
So
it was kind
I
of
created that,
yeah,
and I'm so proud.
Did
I'm
you
so
call
proud.
It Devachan when it was
I
in
did.
Your apartment?
No, I didn't. It was kind of a given to me in a way, but Deva means an angelic realm, or the divas, the devas, they're goddesses and gods. And a chan apparently means a place, a realm.
Okay. I love it.
So, and it's a place that's always consistent. And your core place always, you know, if you're really, your core's there, you can go anywhere you want as long as you've got a strong core. So, and curly hair, you know, you can pretend you don't have it, but it's not going to go away.
Yeah.
So that's kind of your consistent.
Your core.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then you can go and blow, but blow it straight chemically, but it's like the tree, it will always come back no matter what.
Yeah.
So at some point you're going to want to look after it and love it. And usually by the time a lot of people would get to our salon, it was because the hair was falling on the floor. You know, they treated it so badly. So a lot of people didn't always want to come to us because they wanted to be free. It's because they had no choice.
Yeah.
The hair wasn't going to survive if they weren't going to look after it.
Yeah. Yeah, in your book, you talked about blow frying instead of blow drying. I love that.
Funny.
And
it is
blow fried.
A lot of women with curly hair do that. So you're before we talk about silver hair, you now use the name Curly World.
Yes.
And you're still cutting hair, I imagine, right?
I'm cutting hair.
So what's Curly World about?
Well, Curly World is really, it's just an extension of what I was doing before. And it's I've got a cleanser that is sulfate free too, so I've got everything that Diva have. I've got some really new breakthrough products coming. So my four is very a crossover, just shampoo, terms and conditions. It's autobiographical as well.
And you're still doing your dry cutting technique, which I know so many people have copied over the years.
Absolutely. But it's very, it makes sense. I mean, look.
For curls or for everyone?
Actually, everybody. Think about it. Like, our hair is considered a fiber. Hair goes onto the same molecular structure as fur, wool, and feathers. So if you think about, if I'm going to design a dress for you, I'm not going to design it on wet fabric because it's going to shrink. So anything wet expands, and it everything contracts when it's dried. Like, even if it's a minute.
Yeah.
So even so, when you splay the hair just naturally, you just sit naturally, standing up, sitting down, you can see where your hair lands in its resting state. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So even in the book, actually, I've got a lot of naturally straight clients, which a lot of people don't really know that. But I love anything natural, whether you're unbelievably straight, tiny wave, lots of, just working with what your fabric does naturally.
Right. Yeah.
And you can't see it when it's wet. My hair, when it's wet, you'd think it was down to here, and you'd think mm-hmm. I have waves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then it dries. It's like a shapeshifter and a transformer. And then, you know, All of a sudden I've got all these, none of them are the same.
Right.
Either. And you cannot see that when it's a stretched, one-dimensional fabric.
So how could you cut it that way? It makes no sense.
It's just logic. And I'm not doing it because I want to be different. Oh, I want to be known. It's just, it started off with a really horrible haircut that I got many years ago. And when it was wet, it was here. And then when it dried, it was here.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
You're going from your ribs to your cheekbone.
Yeah, and then one side was up to here. So I said to my hairdresser at the time, his body was never found. I said to him, so why is it uneven this side and shorter on this side? Why is it longer? And he says, well, when it's wet, it's even.
Yeah. Oh, that was his answer.
Yeah.
You're like, well, I don't walk around with wet hair,
but
sir.
I don't. Exactly. Right, and that was it. So in a way, he was my biggest teacher. As much as it took me probably 4 years to grow that particular, because curly hair, our trajectory is so
tight. It grows out, not down, right?
Yeah. And that's why we're devastated when we get a horrible haircut, because we know, oh, don't worry, it'll grow. It's not like that for curly girls. Because you know when people say that, it's kind of annoying, because our hair, it's not like that. And I think that's why a lot of curly girls who are not in love with their hair still loves to blow fry it,
right?
Because then it stretches it out.
Yeah. Right. And you said you love anything natural.
Anything.
And we talk about growth. So let's get into the big topic, which is silver hair and growing it out and all that.
Yeah.
So why write this book now? It's almost you did a handbook for curly hair, almost 20 years ago now. Now you're doing a handbook for silver hair. What inspired you?
If I can be honest with you, I wanted to do Silver Sirens right after the first book, because I've always been interested. I've seen it. It's just like you, when you're in something, it's all you hear and all you see.
Right.
So I'm behind the chair and all I hear was, oh, look at my roots, let's cover them.
Yeah.
Oh, why is my hair frizzy? You know, let's straighten it out. So you hear the same thing over again, you know. So you realize there's a need here. There's something missing. So what I started to realize that most of my clients, I mean, really young, they had silver hair, but it was being hidden. And a couple of times, a few would allow their silver to grow out, but we're talking stunning, like stunning, stunning, stunning. But nobody ever saw it as that. So I've been wanting to do this book for a long, 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 long time.
Yeah.
And it's the Quicksilvers that really will probably enjoy this book. And I call the Quicksilvers the ones that go and get their hair colored every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that I think this book will probably be so freeing for them.
So the premise of the book is, no, you really can grow out your silver hair.
Yes.
Right?
And look amazing as well, too. And a lot of people say, oh, I can't have curly hair. My curl's frizzy. That's what we hear
right.
All the
it's
time.
A similar conversation from the curly hair to gray hair.
Exactly.
Frankly.
I might as well just take my curly girl book, just scribble out curls and just write silver instead of curls. Because it's exactly the same.
Guide them through the process.
Yeah. Because they have to grow it out. And it's just daunting. It's daunting to see what you've got under there, because you haven't ever seen it, actually, because you probably started coloring it the moment you saw one strand. Then you've been coloring it. So all these ladies we've interviewed, they're 50 now.
Yeah.
They were 18 when they saw their first silver.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been coloring all this time. Spent so much time, you know, in the salon, and, you know, the way they describe it, it's almost like it's hell. That's another
having
thing.
To go to the salon a lot.
Just talking to them, it's like they're, one of the lady described it as like time of the month, like a period.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So
what are some of the, because this is what happens to me, as you know, I have a silver streak.
Gorgeous.
Full disclosure.
And Jenny's in the book too.
In the book with a little page, along with so many other cool, amazing women sharing their hair journeys. The thing is, people are really nervous to do this.
Yes.
What are some of the common things you would hear when you'd see beauty and you'd be like, yes, that's beautiful gray hair. What are women saying to you as their reason for not letting it be natural?
They've always got a straw man. The straw really? Man is their husband. Their kids would never let me do this. My boyfriend, there's no way. I'm in an industry, nobody would accept it. But it's a lot of it is self-inflicted because
have they ever heard feedback from these people, or they just imagine?
I think 90% is imagined. It's the same with curly hair. Mm. Oh, I can't be curly because it's unprofessional. So you can't say that to somebody. Oh, you can't work here because your hair's gray, it's just unheard of these days.
It's their projection about what gray hair means to them.
To them, their grandmother or somebody, it bothers, somebody right. in now, their life.
I picture, I have gray hair, a lot of gray hairs coming in that
really?
That I dye.
But just new, newly. Is this a new thing?
No, probably. I think when I turned like late 20s, I started noticing them coming fast and furious. And then this year, it's been, it's
quicker.
Very serious.
Now it's
very serious.
Yeah. So how often are you going to the salon to get it colored?
I should be going every month, but I don't. Because
you're able to hide it somehow.
I just don't. I don't have the time to go every month.
Do you put a powder on? Do you know a lot of ladies like to put powders on?
I'm curious about getting involved in the powders, but it's not like there's one little spot.
Yes.
They're all over. So where I don't even know where to start. It's not like
really wow.
I don't know.
The hair
where
looks
do you
amazing
deal with
though.
The powders?
Yeah, exactly. And also, do you know what I hear from colorists too? Is that these powders, they're using it all the time, that when they go to get the color, it creates a little bit of a resistance.
That's a hot tip.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, so you have to be careful that they're not waxy. The powdery stuff, it's basically eyeshadow, I believe.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's like high pigment eyeshadow.
So that can rinse off really well, but I think when it comes to waxy mascaras or other
some
things.
Of the sprays are like a waxy powder kind of thing.
And it leaves a residue.
I think it might be great for if you're going for an event or you have a big meeting and make you feel better. But
yes.
I feel like I touch my hair all the time. That's not like I have this one part line where it's that's where it is and it will stay there. But anyway, what I was thinking is, there are some women, and forgive me if this question isn't, it might not sound very nice.
Okay.
Some women, I think, have amazing silvery white hair.
Right.
Like
Emmy Lou Harris, for example.
Yes.
Beautiful, perfect, amazing. Who's the woman that's with CoverGirl now?
Oh,
May Musk.
Oh, yeah, May Musk.
May Musk,
May
Musk,
right?
Exactly. Gorgeous.
Yes.
But I feel like if I, when the time comes when I have gray all over, that's not in my DNA. It's going to be
it's going to be like a salt
grizzled,
and pepper.
What's that like scrubby, the dish scrub?
Steel wool.
Yeah.
Salt and pepper, like a darker gray.
Yeah. I know it. So are some people just like, it's nice for you to be like, oh, everyone go gray.
Yeah.
But like if.
What if you're
just,
not good gray?
Yeah.
No,
I mean,
no,
if you're
no,
not
no,
good
I'm,
gray, like
trust
that's.
Trust me. I'm
sorry.
Hearing you.
Sorry.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you on it all the way. Because I that's why this book is I've enjoyed it so much because I'm not a colorist and I'm on the inside looking out and doing the research. I love it. And I'm you're one color box away from coloring it again if you don't like it. And this to me is where right now in color it is so creative. The world of color right now has become so creative. So I'm not saying it's not for everybody. This is not for everybody.
Oh, I love that you're not saying
all.
Even if you don't like your gray, should go gray.
No,
you still have to see what you're working
exactly.
with, right?
With curly hair, it's a different thing because I've got this thing about if you blow it and then go curly, it's never here than there, and the hair's never here. But when it comes to color, it's like this just more exploring. Like let's uncover what is there, and then see what's there and then maybe even come up with a different palette considering what you might have underneath.
Yeah, you talked about in the book, you said a lot of people think they don't have good gray hair, but that's because they're looking at it at next to their dyed hair.
It's attached.
So how long do you
how
think...
How do you find out?
Yeah,
yes.
You do give this tip, though. Like, how long do you think you need to let it grow before you can see what you're working with?
Okay, so...
Here we go. Let's get into it.
It's got to be 3 months. And to me, I'm
three
thinking
months.
The winter is really good to do it because then you can wear hats and things. So if you're going out, and you're worried about it, you can wear hats or you can... With 3 months, so if you've got the 3 months line here, there are things you can do with like pins and that to like almost bring that
yeah. the ColourPod
together.
She has together.
This tip about like a bobby pin coated in gel, and you weave it through like you're sewing along your part line. And you,
you
can
kind
of like
hide it. Really?
The book is genius, by the way. I got it.
Okay, so what if, okay, let's just pretend let's say I wanted to like see this whole thing through once they come in more all in. Would you ever recommend, I have dark red hair for those who don't know who are listening. Yes.
She has like gorgeous hair.
Thank you. Would it be like, this may sound so nutty, lightening the rest of my hair to blend in so that it's not like old Mother Hubbard up top and then red hair here?
I think I would enjoy the journey. I would enjoy, because...
Because I just wouldn't want like a crown of gray and then bam, red.
See, I would love to know. I would love to see you, just before you go for color, because I have a feeling you don't have as much as you think you do. Mm-hmm. I think you have sparkles. I get a feeling you've got like tinsels.
I like how you're trying to change the language around all this too. It's not gray, it's silver.
Yeah, I know, sparkles. I feel badly that I said old Mother Hubbard.
No, because that's a connotation. Like the other day, I saw one of the models and she had gone back to color and she was like...
One of the models from your book who has gray hair.
Yeah. She felt bad. And I was like, no, honey, babe, if that's what you want, it's fine. She said, well, I went back to my old colorist and he said that it looked like a battleship gray. And she said, just the wording, just
battleship.
She said, color it again. Wow. It was the way he said, and he was very like, it looks like battleship. And actually, it is.
Sparkle sounds nice.
She has really beautiful whitish hair. But like, Musk's mom, what was her name?
May. Yeah.
Well, her hair, I don't think when it was growing out, it was white just like that. Maybe it was gradual, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe pictures of her, it was a darker silver, and then over time it became
also,
white.
Also, why? I hear a saying that like lighter white hair is better than darker, and I don't like that. You know, you can't say that about skin tone or something, so why would you say that about.
I know.
No, I'm serious.
It's
very similar to the conversations we've had about curly hair back in the day where you would call it frizzy and a fro and it wasn't office appropriate.
Yeah.
And now it's like, no, those are curls and they're textured and they can be professional.
Yeah.
It's funny how gray hair hasn't yet gone through that like process.
No,
it seems to me.
It isn't. Until you see how many young girls have it, it's nuts.
Yeah.
What about Jessica Biel on the red carpet last week? She allowed... Did you see that
article? I didn't notice. No,
yeah,
she
allowed her tinsels to show. She deliberately
didn't color it. I thought that she just kind of like blondish. I was looking at that. I was looking at Getty there. I was like studying Getty. I didn't even notice. Maybe it's because it was the whole look.
You're right.
I believe you.
But I kind of zoomed in and was like, she doesn't really have that much. Whereas I think that's a lot of us, we have a little bit of dysmorphia when it comes to ourselves. I really do believe that. Mm-hmm. You know, we see things that other people don't see. And a lot of it just happens by accident as well.
Yeah.
A lot of people that decided to go gray, it was an accident. Something came up and they couldn't go to the colorist.
So if you're someone who's listening and you know you have gray hair in there, which I'm starting to realize is way more people than let on and way younger than they realize, one thing you could do, like you said, was maybe to lighten the ends so they're closer to the gray, so the line of demarcation isn't that great. You also talk about like color oops and dye removers in the book. Yeah. Do those really work? Like if you have 5 years of brown dye on your ends, are you going to be able to take it out?
It is.
She's shaking her head, people.
Interesting. No, because it depends. I mean, it depends the length of your hair, what you've been through.
Yeah.
Are you still shampooing? Have you been blow frying? So to me, like but if you come in and you want to do that, I would be quite hesitant as a colorist. I mean, I would probably have you sign something first.
If you're going to try and strip out the color that's there.
And if you're really
dark. So that
might
not be the best route.
Well,
everybody.
No, my best, you know, the best is the way you've done it.
And what's that for people who don't know?
The rogue. She has this rogue streak, which is amazing. And to me, if you want to introduce yourself to your color, then
One section of it start
to go gray.
Because
you're not denying that you're not silver.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it, too. It's like, no, I love my hair. I love coloring it, but I'm also not denying it. So to me, having like a little peek, you know, underneath, like here, if you're afraid, let one grow out just so you can see what it looks like, what color it might be. Carry on as usual.
That's interesting. Yeah.
I have a friend who she parts her hair from her ear to ear, takes the top up and dyes that. And then she's been letting the bottom half come out so that she still feels like her roots when she parts it are looking good, but she'll be able to see what that bottom half is going to look like. Is that a good technique?
Perfect technique, because then it can start. That's how I start. I started growing from underneath first.
Oh, yeah.
And then I colored the top for a little bit, and then after a while I went the opposite direction. So then, yeah, so that's the perfect way, is to allow the underneath, and then just if,
and then
especially
by the
if
end,
you've got long hair, yeah, and you can get to know what color you have. We tend to be darker in the back, though. Our, no matter what, you can see the whitest hair, and you'll probably see there'll always be a little darker patch at the back.
Yeah,
but I think to introduce one streak, so a lot of people, of course, is really very white around the front. Just take one piece out. Don't be afraid. What you do is you take the piece, put a little conditioner on it, probably wrap it in a little pin curl, clip it, and let your colorist, or if you color it, color
go
around it.
And then keep doing that for however many months.
Do you know,
and see what
by
you
the time you're
with.
Ready, it's probably going to be fast. If you're a Quicksilver and you're going in every 3 to 4 weeks, It's going to be out in no time. And usually the front sometimes can be a little shorter anyway, so it will probably grow out a little faster.
So this is like all talking about how to transition. Yeah. I mean, is that the word for it? It sort
of
is.
Yeah, it's transitioning.
Yeah,
it really
what
is.
If you get through the transitioning and then
you decide you don't want to do it?
Or you're here from other people. Because some women in your book were talking about how people say to them, it looks like she's given up. Or
yes.
What are your thoughts on that?
That's interesting, because there is a difference of, you know, you've letting yourself go. Letting yourself go and letting go are two different things, I think. You know, where some are just, they're just tired of doing it. Some have to do it for health reasons. It's really about them. I think they've just decided, this is for me now. I'm really sorry. Because Jen, in the book, her husband didn't want her to do it. Mm-hmm. And he actually came at the first sit-in.
Why didn't he want her to do
it? He just wasn't happy that his wife was going to have silver hair.
What does that mean to people?
Well, I think
I mean, obviously he means something different to everyone. You can't speak for everyone, but
I think he was worried. I think it was just his thing. But Jen was in such a place. She was doing yoga. She was learning to be a teacher, and she said, "This doesn't align with where I'm at right now. Mm. And you're going to have to accept me as I am. I'm sorry." She
Dude,
was
we
very
dealt with a guy, and then he goes bald and gets fat. So what's
well, exactly. So, you know, my friend who said, you know, I signed up for a blonde. Her husband said to her, "I signed up for a blonde when we got married." And she's, you know, I said, "You should have said, well, I signed up for a guy with hair and no belly." So yeah, just to hear those kind of things, and it's got to be where you're at. And if you're, it depends on how are you fragile. You're that fragile that you're going to let somebody else determine how you feel. So I think a lot of it is just experimental, because if you go, you know, like the movie Advanced Style is one of my favorite documentaries. There's all these amazing women in it that you don't even think, you just look at them and see their energy, and you're not even paying attention to the fact that they're silver.
Right.
So we're all just bundles of energy, and we can't be that fragile that we allow other people to tell us how we should look.
Yeah.
It's got to be your choice, and you can't, you know, if you've got to, you know when it's time, though. You do. You really do.
What do you hear from women? Like, what's the pushback from women? You've said what you've heard from, you know, some of their spouses or, you know, is it about age, or is it just about self-perception?
It is about age. But then I don't think I've mentioned the word age much in the book, because that's just a made-up word anyway. And, you know, so, and then when you start to meet girls who are 19 years old, who is in the book, and young kids on the street with naturally gray hair, I've tried, you know, I go up to everybody, and the younger ones don't want to be. There was a young boy I just stopped the other day. He's 14 years old with great big gray streak, and I asked him, "Would you be interviewed?" And he was like, "No way," you know, like he was embarrassed. He hadn't quite come to terms with it, but he can't get rid of it either, because it's profuse, you know. He can't be coloring it. He's 14 years old.
What about you personally? What was your reason for letting your silver grow in?
Well, I mainly because of the book, but I've always been interested anyway. I thought, well, let me just see what's underneath. Let's just go in there and look. And I'll be honest with you, I've had some, you know, issues as well, and I'm still going to be experimenting.
Yeah.
But I do want to see what it looks like. I do want to see what it looks
like.
Wait,
what are your issues? Now I want to know.
Because I am doing the book, I did go cold turkey.
Yeah.
Up to here. So I had much
more. And you
gray.
Photograph your grow out process so yeah. people can mm-hmm. see what
and
they.
And it's yeah. not pretty, too. Like, the book is very, it's like a reality show in book form. I didn't want to fluff it over. Like, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard growing it out. And, you know, the best way to do it would be cutting it, cropping it, you know, putting like a white bleach on it and putting a toner on it. That would be the best way to do it, really. And that would be the quickest way to do it. But no one's going to do that. Not many women are going to do that.
Can pull off a platinum pixie.
Oh, yeah. I think they could pull it off. It's just
but they just
not,
wouldn't go
they
there.
Wouldn't do it. I think everyone would look gorgeous with short pixie hair. I mean, I used to cut everybody's hair that way to cut the curls off.
Jess and I are sitting here like, not us.
No, exactly. No, so no, nobody's going to do that. So we're going to have to learn to go around it. But again, it depends on how much there'll be people dying to the end. You know, my friend's mom dyed her hair till the end, mm-hmm. till her last day. She dyed her hair. She was 90 years old.
Yeah, but I'm thinking of my Oma who's passed, and like she wasn't fooling anyone. It was like that weird orangey red when you dye.
That's
you
what
know,
they call it, the hot roots, because it's
hot roots.
Hot roots. That sounds so like that's like a movie. Hot roots.
Yeah,
love it.
But it doesn't adhere anymore. So the color actually just starts to reject.
Oh,
it
God,
doesn't.
No.
So
is
that's
that because
what happens.
Gray is so porous?
Yes. It won't penetrate. It's so
oh,
strong.
That's what my colorist told me.
Yes.
She was like, oh my God, your hair is hard. She
yes.
said, yeah, it's very
it
hard
doesn't
for
want
it
to
is,
have you found that when you were interviewing women, some had a better, the dye took better than others?
Yes, but then it would turn a color in a couple of, that's why blue toners are really fantastic
oh,
right now.
Because it oxidizes so quickly.
So as soon as it goes to the atmosphere.
Especially you being a redhead, I feel
like. I was a special case. Like, we didn't know what we were going to do.
Really?
It was like, I was on the table. Yeah.
Wow. And the thing is, if you're still
kidding.
If you're still shampooing, it's even double.
Of course I'm shampooing.
Okay, so
I
how
know,
about
I know
this?
You're mad. I know you're mad.
Just as a logic. Okay. Your hair's a fiber. Mm-hmm. It goes under the same molecular structure as fur, wool, and feathers. Okay. If you tie-dye something, if you dye a fabric, the last thing you're going to do is go and wash it, right? Because you'll see the water.
Yes.
You'll see the color
the
come
color
out.
The color come out, yeah.
So the only thing in hairdressing, I've been a hairdresser all my life, all I've done is just dissect it and take out the things that didn't make sense. So if I'm dyeing a fabric, why would I shampoo it 2 seconds after the buzzer just went off? You're losing at least, you're losing color will come out.
Yeah.
It deoxidizes the hair.
What about greasy roots?
It's just something that we've been brainwashed to think that's what happens. So if
I can show you my greasy roots.
Well, your grease comes from your hands, because like you said.
I touch.
Touch. And that's all it is, because our hands sweat. So constantly touching, that's where your grease comes from.
But about products?
So it's all I'm saying is don't use detergent. Detergent.
Okay, yeah.
But still wash. You still have to
yes,
wash
yes.
your hair.
And she's making finger motions when she says
yes.
wash.
Yeah,
like you have to, what did you say, agitate? Like
agitate movement is cleaning
that'll
everything.
That'll get those little oil molecules to rinse out even without the surfactant.
But the thing is, we don't have that many oil molecules is what they say that we do, because especially curly hair, there's no way. I would dream
you want
to be,
oily.
Yeah, give me grease. You know, I would wake up saying, is it greasy today?
Yeah.
But, and some of us don't have greasy hair at all. We dream about having greasy hair. So.
Wait, now that she said that, you do touch her hair a whole lot.
I know. I do it all day long.
I think I must, too.
But
I don't
and
know.
It always gets greasy in the front
like,
where I'm touching
on my
it.
Laptop and was like, oh, well, to the left,
to the right.
But also, think about it. It's just all I feel like I like to do is I want to just attune you to the hair that you're wearing. You have, this is your crown and glory. It's the most beautiful thing. It's the first thing we see in your eyes. But if you think about it, you're putting your hands through your hair, one, two, but also you lose hair.
Yeah, when you break your fingers through, sure.
Yes, so 20 times, 50 times a day, 50 times a week, 80 times. And that's when, as we mature, a lot of women are like, oh, my hair's getting thin around the front.
Yeah.
Like, well, you've actually touched it in front of me.
Like 50 times.
So just pointing, it's just food for
that's
thought.
That's really, yeah, I definitely notice it is.
A lot of people don't want to hear what I have to say, though, you know, because
well,
I am pretty, I'm just, I'm just honest, you know, about some of the things, because body language says a lot.
Yeah.
And hair is, it's your, you take it with you wherever you go. You can't take this one off.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like throw it away like we do our, and people would actually spend more on a bag or a piece of clothing than they would on a gorgeous conditioner, too. Mm-hmm. Or you would go and get your cup of coffee that costs $5. You know, but have like a $5 conditioner, but you'll spend $5 on a cup of coffee.
That's very true.
Yeah.
You, once your hair grows in, though, you're saying your hair is drier because it's curly. Gray hair is drier, too, right? So some of these women that you worked with to transition to silver hair, did they have to change up the products that they used?
You may have to use a little bit more conditioner because the cuticles do rise. So just actually putting conditioner on, more conditioner on when you're cleansing, and just leaving some in. So the hair just gets a drink.
Like not rinsing fully.
Yeah. It's just the hair's getting a drink. And also you have to think of your hair like you would a dress. Mm-hmm. So like, for instance, if you wake up in the morning and, you know, oh, I'm going to cleanse today, but I'm kind of liking what it looks like, but mm-hmm. this part bothers me. Why not just cleanse that one
That's
part?
A good point. Just
spot cleanse.
Yeah.
Spot cleanse.
That's exactly
it's always just in the front that looks oily anyway.
So then you take that, like a toupee,
mm-hmm.
and just put it under the water.
So you're sectioning off the top of your hair.
Yeah, girls with bangs do that, right? Like they'll just wash their bangs.
Yeah, so why not everywhere else?
Smart
and you can
lady.
Go, you can go a whole week without, you could go a whole week, because we've become 1950s again. People are going to the salon once a week to get their hair blown out. We used to do that once a week with the in the 50s.
With the curlers and things, yeah.
So we haven't changed much. And
that seems silly.
Why do we all want to look the same? I don't get it. Mm-hmm. I just don't, because everyone's got a gorgeous, whatever it is, it's beautiful.
So for salt and pepper hair, sometimes I can get like a yellowish cast. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
How do you prevent that?
Well, you can just use a blue toner. That's all. It's really, but not a blue shampoo, because then that's counteractive too, because you're using a blue toner with detergent, then it's helping just
slightly. Then rinsing itself out in a way.
Exactly. But the detergent's drying your hair out. So you're.
So you like a bluish conditioner.
It's counterintuitive, yeah. So
which ones do you like?
There's one called With or Without You.
Ooh. Wait, you're smiling like you know the name of it.
No, it's just a cute name.
It's a really cute
name.
That's
my product.
Oh, wow.
But it's really lovely, and it makes your hair actually shine. Your hair shines. And with curly hair, you don't get shine.
No.
Right.
To the point when, you know, I was making it with this chemist, and when I was trying it out, I was like, my hair's too shiny for this. I was like, did you put something in it that I
like it
wouldn't agree
too
with?
Well.
Yeah, I don't trust shine, because I always feel shine comes from silicone. Or something. So, but no, it's there's resurrection plants, there's bamboo fiber in there. So I've got lots of really lovely ingredients. But I did, you know, I'm a little jaded sometimes when it comes to ingredients and things like that I really want to make sure that there was nothing put in there that I didn't approve of, you know.
Right.
But they assured me that it was
up to Lorraine's standards.
Yeah.
So blue conditioner, not blue shampoo, if you're a gray person that's getting a little yellowy looking.
Yes, and With or Without You is for people with color, so blondes would love it.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, flirty brunettes would love it too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, any color tone could work.
So what do you use now? Like for your...
Well, I'm on rations at the moment because...
What does that mean?
Well, my products are not out yet.
Okay.
So I got some samples, so I'm... You know, I call them up going, more please. So because it's in production, I was given like a little bit. So I'm just using like the tiniest bit.
Meanwhile, if you could see her, there's not any frizz, which is crazy.
No, it's beautiful.
And she has very curly hair.
Beautiful hair.
Stop, go on. No, but so I'm really proud of this one.
These Curly World products that are coming soon.
They are.
We'll
lovely.
Have to put a link on our blog when they come out.
Thank you.
What about your lovely skin? Because this is Fat Mascara. We ask about all types of products. Well,
by the way, I love your podcast because I listen to
thanks.
Them.
Thank you.
I just use my friend's oil. It's like Jordan Samuel Skin, and it's an oil.
What is it called?
I am Jordan Samuel Skin.
Okay, Jordan Samuels.
And my friend Julio came out with a really beautiful life skin. He calls it life oil. And it's meringue oil from...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's from his... where. It, yeah.
So just your oils, just your face oils, and you're good to go?
You see, because I believe oils for the skin, because your skin has, you know, pores and it penetrates, mm-hmm. it takes things in. I believe I really love oils for the skin when you're really dry, because I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Curly girls tend to be drier skin as well.
Huh.
And I don't like oils for the hair, though. I've totally gone off oils for the hair.
Because why is that?
Well, like, it's just another science project. But if you think about oil, if you get oil on your
sure.
clothes, mm-hmm. you know, especially wool, it will stain it and yes. you can never get it off.
Salad dressing, for sure.
Right?
I've been there.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Right? So our hair is a fiber. So I've been, all this time, we've been putting oils on our hair. So when you think oil and water do not mix.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So we've been repelling hydration from our hair.
Like
we've been doing the opposite. We've been thinking we're hydrating it, but actually when your water, you know, when you go to cleanse mm-hmm. it the next day, the water literally falls off it. I've been in a situation, many situations, where the water's just repelling the hair.
When you're washing a client's hair, and do you ask them, and they're like, oh, I use argan oil or whatever.
All these, yes, and they're all silicone, because a lot of them are so expensive. Pure argan oil, do you know how much it costs?
So it'll have argan and dimethicone.
Yes.
And you're basically putting a water repellent on your hair.
Yes, which at first for a curly girl, it's like, hallelujah, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then the next week, then it just erosion sets in and the hair is not breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And actually color doesn't, is sustained either. You can't get the, you'll never get the perfect color.
Maybe
too.
That's why you're resistant, Jess.
Jess, so what are you using?
No, she knows what she uses.
Okay. Your hair is beautiful, and you know, if you could see her, like, you will not believe what she's saying.
I'm excited now. I'm thinking you might go silver after you read Lorraine's book.
But you're not interested yet, though, are
no.
you?
No,
and it's
no,
like you
and
said,
it's not. I'm not anti-silver, like
either.
You know. Like, as an idea, it's just not for me.
Yeah.
And that's what you said. You'll know when you're ready.
You'll know. And yeah. it doesn't have to ever be for you either.
Yeah.
But there are just people out there that just having the conversation on the street or anywhere, they're people are so open to talking about it.
What do you think when you see, like, younger girls, like, in their 20s with, like,
I'm just bad.
But have that have actively dyed their hair.
Oh, kind of like silver. Yeah, dying to be silver, which
yeah,
is
does that
so
make you giggle?
Amazing. Oh, I love it.
Yeah?
No, I think it's just... It's because of, I think, Frozen, the movie Frozen.
Yeah, I get that all the time, the Frozen thing.
You do?
Yeah.
It's just like broadening the
what we think
broadening,
of as a woman.
Yeah, broadening what you yeah. what is beautiful. So
yes.
I think that's always a positive
yes,
thing.
Yes, I do. And it really is about energy in the end, though, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, having
amazing
positive.
Well,
outlook.
Thank you so much for coming
it's
on.
A pleasure.
Thank you.
We'll
thank you.
Be talking about Curly World when your products launch. And
I
for now,
that.
The book is Workman Publishing, right?
Yes.
We'll put a link on our
yes.
blog.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks, Lorraine. Guess what it's time for?
What's it time for?
To raise a wand. We haven't sang in a while, so I just wanted to jazz it up there. Should I go first or should you?
Go for it.
Okay. I am raising a wand to Craves Glowberry Glistening Skin Oil Serum.
What's that?
If you remember, we went to the Indie Beauty Expo, met a bunch of creators, met this woman, Janet, who has...
Janet!
You
yeah.
met Janet, too.
Janet! Who could forget Janet?
Janet! She makes products with CBD oil, and I know you're still like, there's the research isn't out yet, and I agree, they are researching still what the benefits of CBD oil are on your skin. However, anecdotally, I can say this oil has been amazing for my redness in my cheeks that I always get in the winter.
Oh, that's good.
Which is sort of, I think it's rosacea, a little inflammation, whatever. But the reason I like this, I love a good face oil. It's prickly pear, I think, is the base oil.
Well, we know that prickly pear has some good benefits.
Yeah, very antioxidants. That's nice. But it also has a teeny, teeny, tiny bit of shimmer. So I put it on my cheeks and then I feel like I'm less red, but I also have sort of like a subtle highlight. Like, it's not like a strobe situation. So you're getting skincare benefits, moisture, a little glimmer. It's just like, okay, I'm looking blah in the winter. Here we go. Crave.
And we love that indie beauty vibe.
Yeah. She started the whole company. That's a good part,
we're supporting
too.
The small guys.
Supporting
all
the
about
little guys.
That. Okay.
Who are you supporting this week?
Well, I'm taking a sharp left turn here.
Yeah.
I'm going totally luxe.
Okay.
Totally luxe.
My crave was luxe. It just was indie luxe.
Well, we're breaking the bank. We're pushing
oh,
the boat.
Oh, God, what
out
are you
going to
give us?
I am raising a big
fat, fabulous wand to Diana Vreeland's outrageous, simply divine eau de parfum.
It's a gorgeous line. I will allow it.
Okay. Listen. Forgo your car payment. Forgo your Amex bill. Take the hit, baby. Okay?
What does it smell like? Tell us.
Tuberose times 10. Some Lang Lang, orange flower, sandalwood, amber woods. This is a sexy floral for people who are fearless.
But you're not usually a white floral type.
Here's the thing.
How is this different?
I've experienced, I was very into white florals in my 20s. Oh, okay. I know many of you are on the floor right now because you can't believe I'm not in my 20s.
It's true.
Okay. Resuscitate. I am a woman. And lately, my appetites have changed.
This is I'm in the woman's perfume.
I am in the mood. I've like, it's like, you know when you, like there was a time where I was obsessed with shrimp, like in my like late teens and 20s. I was eating shrimp like it was going out of style. And then suddenly I stopped eating shrimp. It was like, I was disgusted. I've had this thing recently with fragrance. I want a fragrance. It was like an appetite change. I want a fragrance that says I'm not fooling around.
Do you think it's because you're getting married?
Maybe.
Because you're all grown up?
I want a fragrance that says, no more games.
This is a no more games floral.
It says, I don't wear heels, but it's like this fragrance says like, guess who's coming around the corner? Clack, clack, clack. This is a fragrance that I know I'm going to lose friends over this fragrance because it's so polarizing. It's like, guess who's here?
I like that.
It's like a fur coat, and we discussed already, I don't wear fur. This is a fur coat fragrance.
I think Diana Vreeland would be proud of the description you just gave.
I think so.
Amazing.
So watch out, people. Simply divine. Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at fatmascara or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Marc Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Marc.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.